Chapter 3, Training the Mind for Happiness.
The first step in seeking happiness is learning.
The choices and perceptions that create or destroy our happiness are all a product of our mental state. Once our basic needs for food, clothing, and shelter are met, we are left with a simple premise. We don't need more money, we don't need success, greater fame, we don't need the perfect body or even the perfect mate. Right now, at this very moment, we have a mind, which is all the basic equipment we need to achieve complete happiness.
When we refer to mind or consciousness, there are many different varieties, thousands of different thoughts or different minds. Just like external conditions or objects, some things are very useful, some are very harmful, and some are neutral. When dealing with external matter, we try to identify which substances are helpful so we can cultivate and use them. And those things which are harmful, we get rid of. Similarly, when dealing with various states of mind, we should take and nourish those which are helpful and try to reduce those which are harmful and negative. So, we first have to learn how negative emotions and behaviors are harmful to us and how positive emotions are helpful. Once you realize that, you become determined to cherish, develop, and increase those positive emotions no matter how difficult they are. There is a kind of spontaneous willingness from within. So through this process of learning, of analyzing which thoughts and emotions are beneficial and which are harmful, we gradually develop a firm determination to change feeling. Now the secret to my own happiness, my own good future, is within my own hands. I must not miss that opportunity. In Buddhism, the principle of causality is accepted as natural law. In dealing with reality, you have to take that law into account. So in the case of everyday experiences, if there are certain types of events which you do not desire, then the best method of ensuring that is to make sure that the causal conditions which normally give rise to that event no longer arise. Similarly, if you want a particular event or experience to occur, then the logical thing to do is to seek and accumulate the causes and conditions that would give rise to it. This is also the case with mental states and experiences. If we are seeking happiness, we need to clearly identify different mental states and make a distinction, classifying them according to whether they lead to happiness or not. Now, for instance, hatred, jealousy, anger are harmful. They destroy our mental happiness. Once you harbor feelings of hatred or ill feeling towards someone, once you yourself are filled by hatred or negative emotions, then other people appear to you as also hostile. So as a result, there is more fear, greater inhibition and hesitation, and a sense of insecurity. If you maintain a feeling of compassion, loving kindness, then something automatically opens your inner door. Through that, we can communicate much more easily with other people, and that feeling of warmth creates a kind of openness. It gives you a spirit of friendship. Then there's less need to hide things, and as a result, feelings of fear, self-doubt, and insecurity are automatically dispelled.
There was an appealing logic to the Dalai Lama's thoughts. But I wondered, if happiness was simply a matter of cultivating more positive mental states such as kindness and so on, why are so many people unhappy?
Bringing about a transformation in one's outlook, one's way of thinking, is not a simple matter. It requires the application of many different factors from different directions. One shouldn't have the notion that there's just one key, a secret, and if you can get that right, then everything will be okay. It is similar to taking proper care of the physical body. You need a variety of nutrients, not just one or two. In the same way, you need a variety of methods to deal with the varied and complex mental states, and change takes time. There are a lot of negative mental traits, so you need to address and counteract each one of these. That isn't easy. But I think that as time goes on, you can make positive changes. Every day, as soon as you get up, you can develop a sincere positive motivation, thinking, I will utilize this day in a more positive way. I should not waste this day. And then at night, before bed, check what you've done, asking yourself, did I utilize this day as I planned? If it went accordingly, then you should rejoice. If it went wrong, then regret what you did and critique the day. So through methods such as this, you can gradually strengthen the positive aspects of the mind. No matter what activity or practice we are pursuing, there isn't anything that isn't made easier through constant familiarity and training. Through training, we can change. We can transform ourselves.
Challenging as the Dalai Lama's prescriptions may sound, we are not only psychologically, but also physiologically designed to transform ourselves using just the methods he recommends. The systematic training of the mind, the cultivation of happiness, is possible because of the very structure and function of the brain. We are born with brains that are genetically hardwired with certain instinctual behavior patterns. We are predisposed mentally, emotionally, and physically to respond to our environment in ways that enable us to survive. These basic sets of instructions are encoded in countless innate nerve cell activation patterns. But the wiring in our brains is not static. It's not irrevocably fixed. Our brains are also adaptable. Neuroscientists have documented the fact that the brain can design new patterns, new combinations of nerve cells and neurotransmitters, the chemicals that transmit messages between nerve cells, in response to new input, new thoughts, and experiences. In fact, our brains are malleable, ever-changing, reconfiguring their wiring according to new thoughts and experiences. Scientists call the brain's inherent capacity to change plasticity, and this remarkable feature appears to be the physiological basis for the possibility of transforming our minds. By mobilizing our thoughts and practicing new ways of thinking, we can reshape our nerve cells and change the way our brains work. Mental retraining involves changes in understanding as well as emotional changes. Although it may be natural for us to want to avoid suffering, in a world of sweeping changes and conflicting values, it may be necessary to re-educate ourselves about our own capacities for goodness and compassion, to distinguish between what Buddhism calls wholesome and unwholesome actions, and to behave accordingly. This is all part of the process of inner discipline described by the Dalai Lama, a discipline that includes attention to personal ethics.
I think that ethical behavior is another feature of the kind of inner discipline that leads to happiness. Great spiritual teachers like Buddha advise us to perform wholesome actions and avoid indulging in unwholesome actions. Whether one's action is wholesome or unwholesome depends on whether that action or deed arises from a disciplined or undisciplined state of mind. A disciplined mind leads to happiness, and an undisciplined mind leads to suffering. And in fact, it is said that bringing about discipline within one's mind is the essence of the Buddha's teaching. When I speak of discipline, I'm referring to self-discipline, not discipline that's externally imposed on you by someone else. Also, I'm referring to discipline that's applied in order to overcome your negative qualities.
I wondered why, if wholesome behavior naturally leads to happiness, and all of us want happiness, why should we need so much learning, training, and discipline to engage in more wholesome behaviors?
Doing wholesome deeds may not come naturally. We have to consciously train towards it. Traditionally, it has been considered the responsibility of religion to prescribe what behaviors are wholesome and what are not. However, in today's society, religion has lost its prestige and influence to some degree. At the same time, no alternative, such as secular ethics, has come up to replace it. It is because of this I think we need to make some special effort and consciously work towards gaining that knowledge. Although I personally believe that our human nature is fundamentally gentle and compassionate, it is not enough. We must also develop an appreciation and awareness of that fact. And by changing how we perceive ourselves through learning and understanding, this can have a very real impact on how we interact with others and how we conduct our daily lives.
Since we are born with an innate desire to achieve happiness and avoid suffering, and that does not have to be learned, it still seemed to me that the path of achieving happiness should be a more spontaneous and natural process, not requiring such extensive education and sophisticated knowledge. The Dalai Lama responded to this issue.
The more sophisticated your level of education and knowledge about what truly leads to happiness and what causes suffering, the more effective you will be in achieving happiness. For example, in overcoming anger, although animals may experience anger, they cannot understand that anger is destructive. In the case of human beings, however, you have a kind of self-awareness which allows you to reflect and observe that when anger arises, it hurts you. Therefore, you can make a judgment that anger is destructive. You need to be able to make that inference. And you need other abilities, such as the abilities to judge the long-term and short-term consequences of your behavior and weigh the two. So in learning about how to eliminate the causes of suffering and achieve happiness, it is more complicated than, for instance, simply putting your hand in a fire and then being burned and just learning never to do it again. So it is because of these things that I think education and knowledge are crucial. One problem with our current society is that we have an attitude towards education, as if it is there simply to make you more clever, make you more ingenious. The most important use of knowledge and education is to help us understand the importance of engaging in more wholesome actions and bringing about discipline within our minds to effect changes from within to develop a good heart.